Wife, I said, you know, the Lord's been blessing us and allowing us to go out and preach His Word the way He's called me to do. But I tell you what, it's a certain spirit that's here at Calvary. I've missed this church. I've missed being here with y'all. But I would never want to be here and not do what God's called me to do. I'm going to go and do what He's called me to do. But I'm glad to be back, and I'm glad to be able to stand this morning or this evening. I want to thank Brother Kenny for calling me and having me to come preach, and Brother Mark, as he's out sick. I'm asking you to pray for him. And keep helping him, pray for him and helping him and his wife get over this time of need with the hernia surgeries. Couldn't get it out there, but as we come this evening, I started looking around. I said, man, I said, this is the biggest number that I've preached to here in a while. All the churches I've went to have been smaller churches. I come on Sunday evening expecting, you know, okay, it'd be about the same amount to look out here, and Lord, it's a lot. So my nerves are all over the place. Pray for me this evening. And I was starting to think as I was sitting there next to Brother Kenny, I said, usually when I'm here at Calvary and I get to preach, I get to, you know, pick on Brother Mark or Chris, you know, and it helps my nerves. And I look down and neither one of them there. So Brother Kenny and Jody, y'all are sitting there. Y'all going to have to take it tonight. Now I'm picking with you. If you will, if you have your Bibles, turn with me to chapter 16 in the 1 Samuel this evening. 1 Samuel chapter 16. And we're going to go ahead and get right into the Word of God this evening. I'm going to ask you to stay with me this evening. I'm going to be all over the Word this evening. I'm going to be using different pieces of Scripture. The Lord's laid it on my heart to use a bunch of different pieces of Scripture. I usually don't like to do that because it starts confusing a lot of people and it starts people are starting to get lost when you use a lot of Scripture. But this is what the Lord laid on my heart. And so we're going to be in a few different places. You won't have to turn with me to every different piece of Scripture I'm reading. You know, I'll shoot you straight and I'll read it straight from the Word. It'll be out of the ESV version, but I see some of y'all ain't even paying attention this evening. You see there? Now, if you will, please stand with me in the reading of the reverence of the Word of God. In 1 Samuel chapter 16, starting in verse number 1, we see here, I'm already on the wrong page. Verse number 1, and the Lord said unto Samuel, how long wilt thou mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill thine horn with oil, and go, I will send thee to Jesse, the Bethlehemite, for I have provided me a king among his sons. And Samuel said, how can I go? If Saul hear it, he will kill me. And the Lord saith, take a heifer with thee, and say, I am come to sacrifice to the Lord. And call Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show thee what thou shalt do. And thou shalt anoint unto me him whom I name unto thee. And Samuel did that which the Lord spake, and he came unto Bethlehem, and the elders of the town trembled at his coming, and said, comest thou peaceably? And he said, peaceably I am. Come to sacrifice unto the Lord, sanctify yourselves, and come with me to the sacrifice. And he sanctified Jesse and his sons, and called them to the sacrifice. And it came to pass, when they were come, that he looked on Eliab, and said, surely the Lord's anointment is before him. But the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his conscience, or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him, for the Lord seeth not as men seeth. For man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. Amen. I'm asked Brother John to lead us in a word of prayer.
Our Father, this evening, in Jesus' name, we come to you and ask you, God, to enlighten our hearts this evening, God, on the Word of God. God, that you'd anoint, Lord, our preacher friend, Brother Troy, this evening. God, that you fill him, oh God, from on high, Lord, with fresh oil, Lord. Oh, that he might be able to share, Lord, the message that you've laid on his heart with us. God, let us hear what the Lord has to say to us this evening. Speak to our hearts, Lord, if there be lost in the house. God, draw them to salvation. Oh God, present guilt, Lord, in their life, and let them see, Lord, the grace that you have afforded to them. And God, for your children this evening, God, help us, Lord. Encourage us, strengthen us, Lord. Draw us closer to you with our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. You may be seated. And tonight, as I was studying after this morning service, I didn't have a message to preach tonight, and I started thinking, well, I've got 4 hours, and I've got 4 hours to figure out what the Lord's laid on my heart to preach. And I studied last night for this morning service there at Harmony, and I was trying to get both sermons in at one time, both messages for both churches in, and he just was working with me on that one particular message, and I didn't want to mess that up, so I finished that message, and it was about midnight, and I said, well, I got to get in bed. So I went to bed, and I got up this morning, and I preached there at Harmony, and I came home after eating. I said, all right, Lord, I got another service this evening. Just tell me what you'd have me to preach.
Amen.
And it was about 1:30, 2 o'clock when I got home. And I knew I had to be leaving the house there at 5 o'clock to get back. And I said, all right, I'm going to need something quick and easy. I'm going to need you to help me. Well, that's not how it worked this evening. So I was struggling to figure out what he was going to have me to preach. And I come across this piece of scripture here in 1 Samuel. And as we read through it and we come to the last verse here, and I'll read it to you again. It says in verse number 7, "But the Lord saith unto Samuel, look not on his conscience, for on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as much as man seeth. For man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart." So tonight, as I started reading that, I said, well, I'm glad that no one looks at that the Lord looks at my heart instead of my outward appearance, because everybody at the church is going to have to look at me this evening, and they're going to be and they're going to be feeling in their hearts, well, that's an ugly man up there. I wish that he wasn't standing there. But I'm glad that the Lord gets to look in my heart tonight and doesn't have to look out on my outside appearance. Because as we start looking at our outside appearance, we aren't nothing but filthy rags. We're nothing but the dust of the earth, and we're nothing but filth when we're talking about the flesh tonight. So I'm glad that the Lord gets to look into our inside. But some of us here tonight, we don't want the Lord to look at us in the inside. We don't want the Lord to know what's going on inside our hearts tonight. We'd rather Him look on our outside because we think that we look better than what our heart is really showing. So I'm going to tell you tonight, there's a few things that the Lord laid on my heart that that He wants me to preach on. And the simple title of the message is going to be is, what does God see in you? What does God see in your heart tonight? And the first point that He started to work with me on and started to make me study up on is when God's looking in your heart tonight, is He seeing humility? Is He seeing the humbleness in your life? Is He seeing you being a humble servant unto Him? Or is He seeing you being above and beyond what you really are? Tonight I'm going to turn to Romans chapter 12 and verse number 3 and read this is just one verse here. It says, For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man that measure of faith. And then I'm going to go to John chapter 3, verse 30, and read. And I'm not even going to read, I can quote it for you. That it says that he must increase, but I must decrease. Amen. So tonight, when he's searching our hearts tonight, is he find humbleness in your life? We have one of the best pastors in the county, in the country, in the state. And in my opinion, Brother Mark is one of the best preachers that I've heard in a long time. But I'm going to tell you what, if you look into Brother Mark's life, and I'm glad he's not here tonight so that he's not being put up on a pedestal or his head doesn't get big, which I know it won't. But if you really look at Brother Mark, he's one of the best preachers. You look at the churches around the community, you can go right down here to Harmony. It's a great church. I'm not throwing them down. But you look at the people that are in that church. There's not many. There's great people there, but there's not a whole lot of them. Then you come to Calvary, and you see that on a Sunday night, there's more people here tonight than there is in most churches out there anymore. Amen. But we see that they're faithful to their pastor. They're faithful. They want to come and hear God's Word. And we know that Brother Mark is going to bring us the Word. He's going to bring it the right way. But we see here, as I'm talking about Brother Mark, you don't see him coming up here each and every Sunday and Wednesday night and putting himself above God. I've been to churches where the pastor will get up there and they'll say, he'll be up here and they'll redo something in the church and they'll say, well, look at what I've done. I went and I started this church and there was only 10 people and now I have about 150 coming. And now I've done this and I've done that. Aren't you glad that we have a pastor that's humble tonight? Amen. Aren't you glad that when we look in our pastor, we can find humbleness in him? It starts with our pastor tonight. When we look into our pastor, he's their under-shepherd. He's shepherding each and every one of us. We can look at our pastor and use him as an example tonight. But as we look into each other's hearts and we look into our own hearts, and you just open your heart tonight and let God just prick your heart on what point that I might preach tonight is really what's in your life. Because there's a point in each and every one of these. I have a few different points, and I guarantee you each and every one of us here can say that, you know what, I need to work on that. Each and every one of these points that the Lord laid on my heart tonight, I know I can work on in each and every one of them. There's been many times where the Lord's had to humble me. There's been many times where I'll go out here and when I was real young in the ministry and still do it in today's time, I'll go and preach a message and I'm like, man, I did good. And you know what? It's nothing that I did, but it's what the Lord did. Amen. And we must make sure when we're out here working for the Lord or when we're out here not just doing the things that you'd like to do, to make sure we give God the glory and the honor. Amen. Because I'm going to tell you what, if you put yourself above God, He's going to humble you really quick. Right. And I'd rather be humbled under Him than have to have Him humble me. There's been many times in my life when I'm not even talking about Scripture, but when I'm talking about my own fleshly father, I'd be doing something and I'll feel real good about it and I'll put myself even above him sometimes and say, well, Dad, look here, this is what I did and you can't even do it. I'm going to tell you what, he'd humble me really quick and say, listen, I've taught you everything I know. So I'm going to tell you what, it's the same thing that the Father of Jesus Christ in our lives. Yes. We can go out here and say, well, look what I've did. But I'm going to tell you what, he's going to look back down on you and say, listen, I gave you everything that you've been able to do. I gave you the ability to do that. That's what I did, not you. Amen. So tonight, and when God looks into your heart, make sure that you have humbleness. Make sure you have humility in your life. And when you start thinking about the word humility, you start thinking of bad things. You might think of, you know, we've all had that time in our lives where we go out here and we have to do something in front of a crowd, and then you have that dream about walking up there with no pants on or something like that. That's not the humility I'm talking about tonight. The humility I'm talking about tonight is just the humbleness in your heart.
Yes.
Make sure that you have that humbleness. Amen. The next thing that the Lord laid on my heart tonight was, when God looks at you in your heart, are you steadfast for Him?
Yes.
There's been a lot of people in today's day and time that I feel like as Christians are not being steadfast anymore.
Right.
So as we turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse number 58, I've got so many spots here, you're going to have to give me a minute to turn there. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58, it says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. We see here that the Lord is telling us to be steadfast. Not only to be steadfast, but He's telling us to be unmovable.
Yes.
So we come into this point in this message tonight. And when I'm talking about what does God see in you, and I start talking about steadfast, you might think, well, what can I be steadfast in? Well, we start looking around our country anymore. And Brother Archie, I believe it was in the prayer room this evening, said, we need to pray for our country. We need to really start praying for the authority figures in our country. We need to start praying for all these many different people in our country, because the country's starting to go downhill in a hurry. It's the worst our country's ever been in a long time. And I agree with him. And I believe that's a lot of times is because the Christians in today's day and time are worried about other countries, are worried about this and that, rather than to worry about our own country tonight. And I believe it's because we're not steadfast in our word, in the word of God. We're not steadfast against all these politicians anymore. We see here that, you know, we have all these liberal left-wingers that are wanting to support abortion and have, you know, the abortion laws get worse and worse and worse, where before long they're going to be able to give birth to a child and then go ahead and kill them right after birth. I'm going to tell you what, that's wrong tonight. And I'm going to tell you that we need to be steadfast when we're talking about those kinds of things. I believe that the country is the way it is because the Christians are starting to waver with their beliefs. We're starting to look at other churches anymore. You can go to a Baptist church right there in Winston-Salem. I've been to it with my parents. When we first moved here, we were looking for churches, and my parents are ones that like the bigger churches and things of that matter. And so we'd go to a church, and it was a Baptist church there in Winston. And we walk in the front doors, and there's drums and guitars and all these other things. And then all of a sudden, the next thing I know, a woman gets up there and starts preaching. I'm going to tell you what, friends, that's not being steadfast in the Word.
Amen.
That's not being steadfast in the Word and being unmovable. You can talk to Brother Robbie. He was a deacon at a church. And Brother Marks told you the story. He had to step down because they were starting to put women deacons in the church. I'm going to tell you what, that's not being steadfast tonight.
Amen.
I want each and every one of you to look into your hearts and say, you know what? I've talked to somebody sometime in my lifetime about something to do with Scripture. And they said something that I knew was wrong, but I went ahead and agreed with them on just to keep the peace. Tonight, when God looks at you in your heart, He's going to remember that time. Say, you know what? He wavered on that one time. He might waver on again. She let that go past with one of her friends one time. She might let that go again. And I'm going to tell you what, if you start wavering on the Word of God, then we're going to get into the more modern churches that are wanting to go into different translations and change the Word to fit in today's day and time. I heard on the radio the other day of a church that said that the Word needs to be changed because the times are changing and we need to make sure it fits the times in today's day and time. And what they were talking about is saying, well, back in the early time of Jesus, women were lesser and they weren't allowed to do things. In today's day and time, women are allowed to work and serve in the military and do these other things. They should be able to be preachers and to be authority figures over men. But the Bible clearly states that they shouldn't. And I'm going to tell you what, the Bible doesn't change. God is the same today and tomorrow and forevermore. So if God is the same as always and has always been the same, it says the Word was with me in the beginning, I'm going to tell you what, we need to be unmovable with the Word.
Amen.
If the Word says it tonight, we need to be unmovable.
Amen.
It might be your friend, it might be your mother, it might be your father, it might be your cousin that might be telling you about these different things tonight. But if you're starting to unmove because they're a family member, I'm going to tell you what, God's going to look at you and say, you've done wrong. And he's going to have to leave a whooping on you, because I'm going to tell you what, if you're going against God just because there's a family member, you're setting that family member above God tonight, and you're not being humble. So tonight, if you're looking into your heart and God's starting to search you, He's putting you on trial tonight and He's trying to figure out exactly what's going on in your lifetime. Are you able to say that you've stayed steadfast on His Word?
Bless you, Lord.
Are you able to say that I've been unmovable on His Word? I'm going to tell you what, my parents, as I said, go to a bigger church and I love them to death and they're born again and I truly believe that they are. But they have different beliefs. They start to go against the beliefs in the Bible. They start using a different Bible. And I have to have arguments, and not really arguments, just but coming to Jesus meetings, if you will, with my mom and dad sometimes, and let them know what the Word really says.
Amen.
And you say, well, it says in the Bible that you're supposed to obey your parents. You're right, I still obey my parents, and I do it in a soft and tenderly way. But it doesn't matter if they're your mom, your dad, your brother, your sister, your daughter, your son, your aunt, your uncle, your grandma, your grandpa, whoever raised you. It might just be a foster parent. You say, well, if I go against my foster parent, they might kick me out or move me to a different house. I'm going to tell you what tonight. If there's a parent above you that is teaching you the wrong things and you go against them with the right things, the Lord's going to bless you in that.
Amen.
The Lord is going to put you where He wants you to be. So tonight, make sure that we're staying steadfast in the Word.
Yes.
If we're staying steadfast in the Word, I'm going to tell you what, you're going to see a big change in our country. You're going to see a big change in our community.
Yes.
You're going to see a big change in our country. Brother Larry, he goes all over the country, and I guarantee you, if he was to go onto a different state and change the Word just a little bit every time he went, he's going to go to one state and he's going to say one thing and go to another state and say a different thing, and he's going to be using a different Bible here and a different Bible there. He's going to confuse more people than he is going to lead them to the Lord.
Yes.
And he's going to start seeing less and less people come unto the Lord. He's going to see fewer and fewer inmates not accept Jesus Christ. And you know what? He's going to start thinking, well, what am I doing wrong? And the Lord's going to have to lay it on His heart to show Him that He's not being steadfast. I don't believe that He is, and I don't want you to think that I'm thinking that you are, brother. I believe that you are staying steadfast, but we must do it. And not only must we stay steadfast, but I believe that we must do it boldly. The Bible tells us that we should go out here and be bold when we speak to people. Brother Paul the Apostle Paul tells us that we should be bold.
Right.
I'm telling you what, if we go out here and we say that we're going to be steadfast, but when someone brings a false doctrine unto us or tells us that abortion is right or homosexuality is right, and we don't say anything, you're saying, well, I'm being steadfast, I'm not agreeing with them. I'm going to tell you what, if you don't stand up against them and be bold about it, I'm not saying to go out here and be mean. We must do everything we do in love.
Amen.
Because first of all, Christ loved us, so we must go out here and show everybody else about love. But we must do it boldly and do it unwavering. Because if you do it boldly, they're going to say, well, you know what? That person right there has something about them. They truly believe that they're not going to move. If you're doing it boldly, they're going to look at you in more of an authority way. And I'm not saying that you're above anybody, but if I was to go up to Brother Kenny, and I just went up to him and said, hey, man, what you're doing is wrong. He's going to look at me as someone, well, I'm not going to listen to him. I'll just walk right over top of him. But if I go up and say, Kenny, I love you, but I'm going to tell you what, that Bible that you're using isn't the right translation. You're going to start finding different words in that Bible that doesn't mean what God's really telling you what it means. You know what? You might use that translation there, and it might not tell you about what homosexuality really is and how it's really sin. I'm going to tell you what, brother, if you don't change that way right now, you're going to find yourself in a world of hurt.
Yes.
I'm going to tell you what, Brother Kenny's going to look at me. He said, you know what? I'm not going to say the number, but he's quite a bit younger than me. He's going to say, you know, he's quite a bit younger than me. He shouldn't be saying those things to me. But then he's going to figure out that, you know, hey, he said it boldly. He really, really, truly means that. It must be something from the Lord tonight.
Yes.
So I'm going to tell you what, we must be steadfast in the Word, and we must be steadfast boldly. We must stay in that Word boldly. The next thing is when God starts to look into your heart and He starts asking the question, when you start asking you the question is, what does God see in me? Is He seeing forgiveness tonight? Is He seeing forgiveness in your heart tonight? There's been many times where in my life where I'll get mad at somebody and I won't talk to them for a while. I'll get mad at them and I just don't want to see them. I don't even want to look at their face because it'll just start making me mad. But I would tell you what tonight, we must have forgiveness in our hearts.
Amen.
As we turn to Luke chapter 6, verse number 37 here, it says, judge not, and ye shall not be judged. Condemn not, and ye shall not be condemned. Forgive, and ye shall be forgiven.
Amen.
Tonight, as we come into this different point here, when I'm talking about forgiveness, we come into this verse right here, and it tells us the first thing is to judge not. You say, well, you just told us not to waver on our beliefs. If we're not to waver on our beliefs, then we're going to have to judge people. That's not right tonight. You don't have to judge someone to believe what the Bible says. You might look at somebody and see that they're sinning and you start thinking in your mind, well, they're not dressing right or they're not doing the things of the Lord. And you start judging them. The Bible isn't telling us to start judging people like that. What the Bible is telling us is when you see someone doing wrong and they're sinning and we're supposed to go out here and witness unto them, it's not saying to look at them and judge them. It's saying to go out there and tell them exactly what the Bible says and what it is to do is right. You don't go out here and judge them and tell them what they're doing, or to tell them, to tell yourself or tell somebody sitting next to you that what they're doing is wrong. If I was to go up to Brother Jody and say, "Hey, you know, Preston over here, he's starting to wear really short shorts or something in that matter," you know, that's judging him. But if I was to go up to Preston and say, "Hey, man, what you're wearing is inappropriate for church," that's something different. That's not judging tonight. That's telling him what the Word of God is saying. It's telling him what we should be doing for the Word of God. So tonight, when I'm saying to be forgiveness or forgetful, you must also not judge someone. As we see here in this verse, that judge not and ye shall not be judged.
Amen.
So I'm going to say that first. But the second thing is to condemn not and ye shall not be condemned. Don't condemn somebody tonight. Don't tell them what they're doing or what they're nothing tonight. Because each and every one of us are nothing. As it comes back to the first point, is humility, to be humble. If you're condemning someone tonight, you're not being humble. So tonight, don't condemn somebody if they're doing wrong. Just go up to them and say, "Hey, this is what the Bible says. Jesus just laid it on my heart to tell you what you're doing today is wrong." He'll forgive you of what you're doing if you just come unto Him tonight. I'm not saying what you're doing is something that God will never forgive you for. But I'm going to tell you that there's somebody that will forgive you for it. And so tonight, don't condemn somebody so you don't become condemned. But as we come into the point that I'm actually going to talk about tonight is forgive and you shall be forgiven. Tonight, we must find it in our hearts to find that peace with someone that you're hating tonight or someone that you don't have the love for. It says that if you don't love your brother, you don't love me also. So tonight, each and every one of us can look in our hearts and find somebody that you've had a difficult time with. Each and every one of us, I believe, can say that you have some hard feelings against somebody tonight. We need to search in our hearts and really try to figure out how to fix that tonight and forgive them for whatever it was that they did. Because if you start really thinking about it, each and every one of us sins each and every day, whether you're a lost or you're a saved person. I guarantee you, you sin today or sometime this week. I guarantee you have. That's what the flesh does, is it sins. But if you start thinking about it, God gives us the opportunity to come unto His Son, Jesus Christ, fall upon our face and repent of our sins.
Amen.
And He forgives us for that. That's what Your Word says, is it not, brother?
Yes.
So if Jesus can forgive us for our sins, there's been many of people that I know that were worshiping other gods and doing different things in religion. My grandpa, if you might not know, he's my step-grandpa, but he's Taiwanese. When he first met my grandma, he was a Buddhist. He worshiped Buddha. But I'm going to tell you what, he came to the Lord one evening and accepted Him as his personal Christ and Savior. And I'm going to tell you what, the Lord forgave him for worshiping Buddha. So tonight, if the Lord is able to forgive us for doing something so different and something that's such against Him, why can't you forgive that one person for just the little things of this earth? You say, "Well, it was something big. They did something really bad against me. They did this, they did that." And there's been many of us that are here that night that might be divorced. And you say, "Well, you're going into deep territory there, preacher. You haven't been divorced. You haven't been married that long." Well, I'm going to tell you what, tonight, you might have been divorced. And there might be some hard feelings there, but you need to learn to forgive that person. You say, "Well, that person isn't saved. Why do I have to forgive them? They're lost and dying." That's just the more reason to forgive them. Show them the forgiveness into your heart so that they can find out the forgiveness and that Jesus will give them. Because if you can find forgiveness in your heart tonight, you'll be able to share that forgiveness with somebody else that Jesus gave to you. So tonight, we must find forgiveness. As we find forgiveness, we must do it in a certain way tonight. You can be mad at somebody. There's been many people in my life that I've been mad at, and I'll end up, you know, forgiving them and forgetting about it. But you know what? That's all I do. I just forgive and forget. I don't believe that we should just forgive and forget tonight. Well, you're telling me that you should forgive. How do we not forget if we forgive? When I'm talking about forgive and forget, I'm not saying that we should just forget about what happened. You should go up to him and you should fix what happened. If I might have something wrong with Brother Kenny, I'm saying, "You know what, we need to fix this here tonight. I love you and I forgive you for what you did, and I ask you to forgive me for what I did. And I want to love you for the rest of your life, because you know what, you're a brother in Christ."
Amen.
Tonight, there's been many people I work with in my time, you know, my young age. There's been a lot of people that I've worked with that I'll talk to and they're just one of those people. I guarantee you work with one of these people as well. They'll look at that person, look at someone and say, well, I don't like them. Then you'll look at somebody else and you'll ask them about them when you first start a job, and they'll say, well, I don't like them, or I don't like them. And you start thinking, well, man, this person doesn't like anybody. And so you start talking to them. You say, hey, you know, are you saved? And you start talking to them about their relationship with Christ, because if he's not liking anybody, he's probably not saved. And so there's one person in particular, I started talking to him. I said, you know, hey, man, you know, you say that you go to church and you're a Christian. You know, why are you saying that you don't like these different people? And then he'll start saying, well, this person applied for that job and got it, and I didn't get it. And it's the simple things like that that people get mad over and stuff like that. But really, why do you have that feeling in your heart? Why do you have to harden your heart to the point where you're mad at someone over just something silly like that? Because tonight, the Lord forgive us for much more than that. So how about we just soften our hearts tonight, and when someone starts getting on your nerves, just say, hey, I love you. Just say, hey, I love you. I'm going to tell you what, you start saying that, and people are going to say, well, what's going on with him? And they're going to start talking about something different. They're going to start talking about the Lord. You can start sharing the Lord with them. So tonight, we must find forgiveness in our heart. But not only forgiveness, but do it in love. Forgive them in love. Don't just forgive and forget. Forgive them and love on them. You say, well, I don't really like that person. I don't want to love on them. Well, you might have to find room in your heart to love them, because the Lord loves you. And we need to share that love with each and everybody that we meet tonight. The next thing is when God's searching your heart, does he see truth in your heart? He starts thinking, well, what do you mean by truth? You calling each and every one of us liars tonight? No, I'm not calling anybody a liar tonight. But when I'm talking about truth, I'll turn to John chapter 17 and verse number 17, and we'll just read a little piece of it. It says, sanctify them through thy faith, or through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Tonight, when I say, ask you if you have truth in your heart, when God starts searching your heart, do you have the truth? What I'm talking about is the word. The word is the truth. Jesus says, I'm the way, or Jesus says that he is the truth. So if you have truth in your heart, do you have Jesus in your heart? You say, well, what do you mean by that? Each and every one of us should be able to know our Bible, know exactly what it says. It says that we should, in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, study to show thyself approved. And then we go on to the latter part of that, and it says, rightly dividing the word of truth. So tonight, when God starts searching your heart, do you have the truth in your heart? Do you have that special this special word right here that he gives us in your heart? Lord, I'm tearing your Bible up. Look at here. Do you have that truth in your heart tonight that you can share with somebody? Because I'm going to tell you what, if you don't have the Word of God in your heart, if you don't know the Word of God in your heart, it might not be much, but if you don't have any of the Word in your heart, you don't have truth tonight. Because Jesus Christ is the truth, and he's the only truth. Amen. You start looking at things of this world, and you're just going to start getting into false doctrine, as I was speaking of earlier. If you don't have the Word in your heart tonight, when someone comes unto you and starts speaking to you about homosexuality or about abortion or about just these different things that people are talking about anymore, you're not going to know the truth. And you're going to start believing in that, and you're going to come under Brother Jody and say, man, listen to what I heard. This is pretty cool right here. And then Jody's going to say, well, I'm going to tell you what, that's not what the Bible tells us we should be doing. And then you're going to start feeling really mad. And then you're going to come to the third point that I was talking about being mad at somebody. And then you're going to have to forgive them for it again, because you just first didn't have that truth in your heart tonight. So tonight, we must have that truth. As we're talking about the truth, we must have the Word. As I said before, study to show yourself approved. I'm going to tell you what tonight, each and every one of us should be in our Bibles tonight. Each and every one of us should be in our Bibles tomorrow night. Each and every one of us should be in our Bibles Tuesday night. Then you come back to the house of God Wednesday and you can hear the Word. But I'm going to tell you what, a lot of times we take our Bibles with us as we leave church, and we just leave them sitting in our car. I'm going to tell you what, you start looking around, look at your neighbor's Bible, you'll start finding out the ones that leave them in the car. If you haven't heard of something called the sun, it starts fading stuff. If your Bible's faded this evening, I'm going to tell you what, people are going to start looking at you and say, well, he leaves his Bible in the car. So tonight, make sure that you have your Bible with you in the evenings, and make sure you're studying it at all times. Because I'm going to tell you what, there's going to be a time this week that you might go through that someone's not going to come up to you and talk to you about something. And you know what? If you don't have that Word and you don't have that truth in your heart, you're not going to be able to tell them exactly what the Bible says. And then they're going to go out here living false doctrine because you didn't know exactly what the Bible says, and you could have helped that person. And then that's going to be on you. Me and Jake work at Samaritan's Purse. You say, well, you have a pretty easy way there at work then. If you work at a godly place like that, a ministry that's a Christian ministry, If me and Jake aren't in our Bibles and we're not studying, even in a Christian ministry like that, I'm going to tell you what, it's going to be a hurt on us. Because there at Samaritan's Purse, there's a lot of people that use different translations, a lot of people that believe differently than what the Bible actually tells us. And if me and him aren't studied up in the Word tonight, Miss April, you work there too. If we're not studied up in the Word tonight, when those people come unto us with the different translations or that mean something completely different than what the Bible really is saying, then you know what? They're going to go out here unto these different countries, these different places, and teach that piece of Scripture wrongly. So tonight, make sure that you're studied up in the truth. Don't go out here and tell people that something wrong just because you didn't know your Bible. The Bible also tells us not to just be hearers, but to be in the Word. If you come each and every night and you just listen to the Word, and I don't believe anybody here at this church, I don't believe Brother Mark or right now Brother Kenny would have any preacher up here preaching you different things that shouldn't be preached. But if you just listen to people talk about what the Bible says, and you say, well, this guy told me that this is what the Bible says, I might as well just, you know, go with it. If you're not in your Bible and studying, just listening to people, what people say, then you're going to be going further and further and further away from the Word. Amen. Because someone might say it a little bit different. That's why I always try to read Scripture, because I'm awful at quoting it. I'm going to mess it up some way, somehow. And if I don't read it directly from the Word, then it's going to be wrong some way. And that's what's going on with a lot of these different translations anymore, is that it's changing in that direction. So make sure that you have the truth tonight. As we come into the final point here, when God starts searching your heart, and you start asking yourself, well, what does God see in my heart? Does He see repentance tonight? Does He see the repentance in your heart? You say, well, I've been born again. I've repented of my sins. Have you really, truly come to God and truly repented of everything you did? When I was 6 years old, and I've told many of you before, when I was 6 years old, I made a profession of faith, and I repeated a prayer after somebody, and I said, Lord, forgive me of my sins. I'm going to tell you what tonight. You say, well, you repented of your sins. You asked Him to forgive you of those sins. No, I didn't. I said words tonight. I just said three little words. Forgive me, or however many words it is. Forgive me of my sins. And that was it. Just saying words doesn't really mean that you're repenting. I believe each and every one of us has sins that we know that's wrong in our lives, that we know that we did was wrong. But have you really came unto Jesus and really asked Him, say, Lord, please forgive me for doing this exact thing that I did. Please, Lord, forgive me for what I've done. Please forgive me for not coming to you sooner. Please forgive me for what I've done. And I really, truly want you to please help me with it, Lord. Have you really come and repented of your sins? Or have you just spoke words tonight? I believe a lot of us just like to say words and think that that's okay tonight. If you truly don't really repent with the heart and fully, really, truly do it with meaning tonight, you haven't really repented of your sins. So tonight, don't just cover up your sins. Don't just cover them up, because I'm going to tell you what, a lot of times a lot of people like to just cover up your sins. A lot of times I know people that will go out here and do different things, and they say, well, no one knows about it. I did it in a different state, or I did it in this place where no one was around, and I did it here and there. And you say, well, I can get away with it. No one knows about it. I'll just cover it up. I'm going to tell you what, tonight you can cover it up from humans. You can cover it up from me and Kenny and Mark and Chris and John and all these different preachers. You can cover it up from us. And we might not know what's going on in your life. But if you don't come unto Jesus and really show it to Him, I'm going to tell you what, He already knows that you did it. He already knows. He already saw you do it. But if you don't come unto Him with a repentant heart, He's going to mention that to you when you come unto Him in those last days when He calls each and every one of us home. He's going to tell you that exact moment. And if you haven't repented of your sins tonight, then you're going to find yourself falling into an endless pit. You're going to find yourself in a devil's hell tonight. If you haven't truly repented of your sins and came unto God and truly meant what you said when you came to Him and truly asked Him to forgive you, then you're going to find yourself in a low pit tonight. There's been a lot of people that have died and gone to hell tonight because they came unto God and made just a profession but didn't actually get a receiving of Jesus Christ, because they just came unto Him thinking, well, I can just say words and be done with it. My mom and dad, they came and told me that I can just say words and I'm good. I can go live the way I want to. If you truly haven't repented tonight, you're going to find yourself in a world of hurt when the Lord comes back to get His church. As we all stand to our feet and Miss Macy and Brother Scott comes tonight, I want you to really take time and search your heart tonight. Have you stayed humble in your life? As we all bow our heads and close our eyes, no one looking around, I want you to really search your hearts tonight as Miss Mason starts playing. Have you stayed steadfast in the Word? Have you wavered on the Word? Not stood up for the Word when someone asked you about it? When they started talking about different doctrine, you didn't tell them what the truth was. You weren't truthful in your heart. You just said, well, that's one of my best friends. I'm just going to let it fly this one time. Tonight, have you really repented of your sins? I'm not just talking to the lost, but even after you've repented of your sins to God and you were accepted into the kingdom, your name was written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Have you came to Him lately and said, Lord, you know, I've sinned here lately and I've been doing wrong. I'm going to ask you to please just forgive me of these sins that I've committed here lately. Here recently, I've been doing things I know I shouldn't have been doing. No one looking around, no one going to judge you for coming up here. Because each and every one of us needs to come up here and tell God, you know what, I'm sorry for what I've done here lately. Because I guarantee you, each and every one of us has done something that the Lord is not pleased of. As Brother Scott plays, and the Lord's working through your heart tonight, don't be stubborn and sit there when the Lord's talking to you. Be humble.